Called the lesson text today, amen. So if you'll read it with me, amen. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, and ask that you move by your power and your might, Lord. Cause souls to be delivered, to be saved, Lord God, to be invigorated, rejuvenated, encouraged today. In your mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we are going to come back to that, and I'm going to read in your hearing from Psalm, the 30th chapter, starting at verse number 6. It says, David is talking here, and he said, And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. The lesson today is an encouragement to us to always see God for who he is, to always understand that no matter what you are able to do, what you're able to accomplish, whatever good comes out of you, you must understand that it is God that has done that. It reminds me of the scripture that says, in him we what? We live, move, and have our being. And when you look into that scripture verse, it is telling you that you can't have a single thought. You can't so much as move your index finger. You cannot so much as take a step unless it was the Lord that empowered you to be able to do that. Amen. And so often the Lord has blessed us in such a mighty and powerful way that we get comfortable riding in the authority that God has given us. We feel comfortable with the talents and the gifts, the abilities that God has given us, and we fail to give him honor. We fail to give him glory. And so God, what he has done is he has placed upon us a certain level or amount of glory because of his goodness extended to us. We are made to look like something that we are not. Come on, somebody in this place. When we came to God, we came stained and sinful, and even now all of our righteousness is as unto filthy rags. But when we came to him, what the Lord did is he justified us. He was the propitiation for our sins, and he justified us. To justify us is to say he makes us look like we never did what we did. We come to him stained up and dirty, and when we come to him, he cleans us up in such a way that we never look like we were as filthy as we were. Come on, somebody. They got all the stuff on television advertising A-L-L All. Y'all remember that commercial? The All Detergent? And so they're advertising that it gets all the stains out. And then they say, Tide, it works wonders. You put it in this way, and they show the clothes going around in the washer, and your clothes are getting dirty. So your little kid was out there playing football, got the jersey all muddied up. The socks look like he was wading in a swamp, and now it comes out of the washing machine, and nobody can believe that those socks were so muddy. Amen. But I tell you what, the socks come underwear, the jersey comes underwear, and eventually you can keep on trying to get it clean, but the stain will permeate in there, and no matter how good ALL is, no matter how good Tide and Cheer are, they can't seem to get the stain all the way out, amen? And they continue to go through the same process of getting dirty and worn, and eventually you work holes in them, eventually they look like what they have been through. But when you come to God and he cleans you up, can't nobody tell you have been where you have been. Why is that? Because you don't keep going back out there in it. And because you stay on the Lord's side, he makes you to look like you ain't never done it. You know, there's people who will tell you things that they have done in the world, and you're like, really? I done quit telling y'all stuff that I did because I noticed the reaction I get when I tell y'all. Y'all frown up and look at me like you're so disappointed, like our pastor used to do that. So I said, I'm just going to quit telling y'all about it, and I'll tell people in personal consultation when I feel that it's needed, because y'all look so disappointed that I was not saved at one point in my life. We must be careful. David said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And we have a habit of becoming comfortable after the Lord has blessed us. I tell people, I miss the days. Look, I don't want to go back to them, but I miss the days when we barely had two nickels to rub together. The days when you just had barely enough gas to make it to church and back home. Amen. Those days when if your air conditioner broke down, you just sat up in some heat. Amen. Everything was so simple then because you didn't have all of the options that you have now. You didn't have cable TV because you couldn't afford it. Amen. And so life was real simple. So the only thing you did was to praise the Lord, to give him honor and glory. But once the Lord start blessing where you've got the cable TV and where you have the money to keep the air conditioning and you got plenty of money for gas instead of just going to church and back or to your job and back, your car start taking you places that maybe you ought not to go. Come on, somebody, in this place. And we start becoming comfortable in the authority and the abilities that God has given us. And now instead of praising him, we glorify our own carnality and allow ourselves to extend out fleshliness. That ain't really where the lesson is going, so let me stay focused here. Again, let us not get comfortable when things are going so well where God doesn't get the honor and the praise. And David had just got through saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It looks like in the previous five verses that David was showing us that he had come under some kind of pressure, that he had experienced some things because he hadn't been where he was supposed to be in God. His thoughts were not the way that they should have been in God. And now he's coming to the determination that when I was in my prosperity, I said I won't ever be moved. In other words, why do I need to praise the Lord? I'm comfortable. I've got what I need. I've got my group of friends that I need around me. I've got my revenue stream. Why do I need to praise and worship God? Be careful that we don't honor God because we've got so much and we end up getting a reality check to return us to God. And I don't want that reality check, y'all. Amen. I want to keep on praising him. In verse 7, it says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Here David is after he went through those previous five verses talking about the things and the troubles that come with not serving the Lord like you ought to serve the Lord, not thinking of him, not honoring him, not praising him like you should. And now he's come to the realization, my mountain has stood strong, not because I knew so much, not because of my group of friends, not because of my revenue stream, not because of my contact, not because of my intellect, but Lord, you caused my mountain to stand strong. I didn't see it when I was in my prosperity, but now because I'm seeing the things the way I ought to see them, I understand, Lord, it was by your favor, it was by your power, by your might that I was able to stand strong.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then he said, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I was the other way. Instead of being arrogant about what the Lord had given me, I downplayed what the Lord had given me. Like it ain't nothing to it. I was real young, I think I was about 19 or 20, and I was writing poetry and different auxiliaries in the state council was asking me to write for them. If they had any kind of event, they were asking me to write, and everybody was just going on and on. Boy, he can write them poems, he make you visualize it and all that. I felt good about what they were saying, but I wasn't getting caught up in the hype. I was just glad that the Lord had me up at 2:30 a.m. in the morning writing things out. Come on, somebody. And I still got my rest. I have to get up early in the morning, but I still had enough rest to go to work, and just like I got 8 hours of sleep. But what happened to me is the enemy troubled my mind and said, that ain't nothing. Anybody can make words rhyme. And for that moment, I agreed with the adversary and said, he's right. It ain't like this is no big thing. Y'all be careful and give God the praise for everything. Don't belittle what God has given you, because out of little, he has turned what you have into much, and the enemy will come to you and make you feel like what you're doing is of no consequence when it is of consequence. And why is it of consequence? Because it is the Lord that is doing that thing in you and through you. So when I agree with my adversary that this is no big thing that the Lord was doing, for about a week, the Lord was showing me most beautiful lines of poetry that I could ever imagine, Elder Pope. And before I could get to a piece of paper, a 19-year-old had already forgotten what the Lord had showed him. It wasn't that I had memory problems, but the Lord did hide his face. He wanted to show me that it is of consequence, that it ain't just anybody who can make words rhyme, because it's my ability, my authority in your life. It is what I have given you as a talent, and don't you downplay it, because I gave it to you. So now I'm going to show you that not just anybody can make words rhyme. I'm going to show you beautiful lines with visions attached to it, and before you can get to a piece of paper in 30 seconds, I'm going to dissolve it. I'm going to make it disappear. That was a hard week for me, seeing all these beautiful lines, and I couldn't even make it to a piece of paper to write it down. And so he hid his face, and I was troubled. And then as David said in verse 8, I cried unto thee. Come on, somebody. We've got to learn how to cry unto the Lord. It is us that have broken off the right relationship. It is us that have severed the relationship with God by not giving him glory and honor. It is the glory that he puts upon me that I'm required to give back to him. So no matter what it is that the Lord has given me, you may look at me in awe for what the Lord has placed upon me, but it is required of me to take the all that you have for me and to place it upon the Lord. To let you know that it is not of my power, it's not of my authority, it's not of my own ability, but it is God that has done this thing. It is not my glory, Lord, but it is thy glory, and so I return it back to you. David said, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. When you see that the relationship with God is severed, you need to hurry up and start establishing that relationship, reestablishing it, and going to God and saying, God, I can't make it without you. Lord, I've been comfortable in my own ways. I've been comfortable in my own planning. I've been comfortable in my own objectives. But Lord, help me now to understand that my objectives need to come from you. And don't be afraid that God is not going to utilize the things that he has already placed in you. See, sometimes we don't allow the Lord to plan out our day, our week, our month, because we're so scared that it's going to deviate too far from what we already wanted to have in our day, week, or month. But rest assured, if you allow God to provoke that objective for the week or the month, it's going to be in line with what best fits you. Yes. But not just best fits you, but those that are around you that need something from the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. What profit, David said, is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? See, when you're a real praiser, you can talk like this. Because when I rise up in the morning, I'm thanking the Lord. Well, actually, before I rise up, while I'm still laying there awake, I'm praising the Lord. Come on, somebody. And I have found that in time past, I've been too comfortable with allowing God to do things in my life and not give him praise for each specific thing that he has done. Some of us think it is beneath us, or we think that it is too much to thank God for every so-called little thing. But if they are noteworthy, they're not little things. If there are things that you are able to see with your eyes, you are able to conceive a thought in your mind, they are not too small to give God praise for. Come on, somebody in this place. See, let me tell y'all something. When my kids, they travel, they come to visit us, I thank God when he allows them to have a safe journey to the destination. And when they make it back home, I'm on them constantly. Let me know when you get home. And while they're on the road, I'm in my mind praying and say, Lord, provide them with safe travels. And when they get back home and say, we're home now, I stop and give God a specific praise for allowing them to have made it back on their journey safely. Come on, somebody in this place. I pray and I ask God, Lord, keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger, from all accidents, tickets, and arrests. Come on, I want to try to cover as much as I can. And Lord, when you do it, I'm going to give you praise because you are worthy of the praise. It's not just because I told them to be safe. It's not just because they're young and have good reflexes that they dodge the deer on the road. It's not just because they're alert and their eyes are open that they do not have an accident. So Lord, I give you praise for not being the co-pilot, but for being the pilot in that automobile. Come on, somebody. For causing them to make decisions that you have caused them to make and not decisions that they decided to make. Shout hallelujah in this place. When I get back home, I thank the Lord for bringing me back home. When I complete a day of work, whether I got money in my pocket or not, I thank the Lord for what he has blessed me to earn. Then I ask him to utilize that finance the way that it should be utilized. Because I want everything to be blessed that comes from the Lord. I want the Lord to know that I'm thankful for what he has done on my behalf. Come on and say yes, Lord, in this place. When your kids bring home those 4.0s, number three, come on and give the Lord praise for what he has done. He sharpened their mind. He made their intellect alert enough to understand what's scribbled on the board and what's written in the textbook, and they can bring home the 4.0. Lord, I don't want that to happen, and I don't give you praise. So we give God praise for everything. And David said, I cried to the Lord, and come to him I made my supplication. Then I turned around and said, Lord, what profit is there in my blood? If you kill me, Lord, if you punish me to the utmost, if I go down to the grave, can the dust praise you? Can the grave praise you? But Lord, what I'm telling you right now, that the honor and the glory that you bestow upon me, from this time forth, I'm going to allow that honor and glory to be given back unto you. So Lord, don't punish me unto death. If you leave me alone and leave me here, I will give you the glory. I will give you the honor, Lord. Everything that somebody praises me for, I'm going to flip the script and let them know it is not my glory, but it is the glory of the Lord. It is not my ability, but it's the ability of God in my life. Come on and shout hallelujah. I've gone too far and I've stayed too late. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. In verse 10, it says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. It's interesting. Once you finally come to the point where you have determined that your relationship has been severed with God, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to keep it severed because you like the time that you have in the flesh and in carnality, or either you're going to turn back to God and say, God, don't destroy me so that I can praise you. Lord, don't take me out of here, but give me an opportunity to do what I should have been doing all along. Is anybody in here thinking about God that way and telling the Lord right now, Lord, I may have been inept in my praise toward you. I may not have been giving you the honor and glory that I should have, but I hear you talking right now, Lord. And Lord, if you sustain me, if you hold me up, I will begin to praise you like I was supposed to on yesterday and last week. I will praise you if you just hold me up. We got anybody that's willing to say, Lord, I'm here for praise. I'm here and I will praise you. I will glorify you. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Lord, because when you hid your face, I was troubled. When you hid your face, I felt like I didn't have any help. When you hid your face, I could not feel your anointing. I could not feel your presence. When you hid your face, Lord, your scriptures did not permeate my mind. When you hid your face, the word that I had previously hidden in my heart, all of a sudden I cannot cause that word to come up. But Lord, I want you to hear me, Lord, and have mercy upon me, and be thou my helper. Somebody got to know how to go to God and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, forgive me of what I have been doing or what I have not been doing, and give me another chance to praise you, another chance to glorify you. If you give me another chance, the glory that I've been robbing from you, I promise to give it back to you. Shout hallelujah in this place. He said, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now, saints of God, when you really go before the Lord and you go over to Psalm 51, you'll see David repenting. And you can tell when David understands that the Lord has talked to him and turned the situation around. Whenever you are real with God, you can feel his presence. You can feel his anointing. Come on, somebody in this place. And God begins to move on the inside of you. And you realize when God had made the switch from you should be punished, you should have been punished, to switching to I'm going to have mercy up on you. I'm going to sustain you and hold you up. So now you better make good of what I have given you. You can tell when God has wiped the slate clean from yesterday. But baby, today you better stand up and live for the Lord. Today, go ye and sin no more, because if you do, a greater thing shall come upon you. And David here says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. When God forgives you, come on somebody in this place, when God forgives you, you feel like dancing. When you were in that other state, you felt like crying. You felt like putting your head into your hands. You felt like sprawling out on the floor face down. But now that you know God has forgiven you, you say, Lord, you have turned my grief into joy. You have turned my sadness into gladness. You've turned my mourning into dancing. Come on and say yes, Lord, in this place. The Lord is trying to deliver somebody in this place. You ought to set your mind to know God today and tell the Lord, I haven't been doing what I should be doing. I haven't been where I should be. But Lord, since you're bringing me this message, I'm going to stand up on your holy word. I'm going to praise you for your mercy. I'm going to praise you for your goodness. I'm going to praise you just because of who you are. I don't have to have a pretty car. I don't have to have a big house. I don't have to have a fat wallet in order to praise you, Lord. Because I praise you just because of who you are. So in verse 12 it says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. Some of y'all thought I was going down the wrong road, but I want you to know I'm going down, or shall I say up, the right road. David is speaking to the Lord, and he finally gets to the point that, Lord, if you restore me, then he gets to the point, since you have restored me, I know that you're going to cause glory to come upon me. You can't walk in the Lord and not have the Lord's glory upon you. You may not have it like Moses, but when you're serving the Lord, there's something different about you. When you serve the Lord, folk will look at you in your eyeballs and realize there is something different about you. Folk will listen to what you have to say and the inflection in your voice and realize that you ain't no normal individual. Come on and shout hallelujah in this place. And they begin to become at all with who you are in God. And we've got to be like David, he said, to the end that my glory may praise you, that my glory may sing praise to thee. So when somebody is praising you, when you notice that you have something going on in your life that's above the norm, that it is supernatural, it's time to praise God. Let those who shall lack you in praise understand that it is not me, but it is King Jesus. It's not my ability, but it is the power of the Lord in my life. So David said, since you have forgiven me, you've turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my sadness into gladness. I can get back with the business of glorifying you. I can get back to the business of serving you. I can get back to the business of hiding your word in my heart. And when I get back to that, your glory comes back to rest upon me. But God, you can be assured that this time I won't get comfortable in your glory. I won't get comfortable in your ability. I won't get comfortable in the things that you have done for me. But this time, Lord, I'm going to make sure I praise you. I'm going to make sure everybody knows who the glory belongs to. Come on and say yes, Lord, in this place. Now we got to get back to Revelation, the fourth chapter. Say yes, Lord. In Revelation, the fourth chapter and the ninth verse, it shows that the beast began to praise the Lord. And as they began to praise the Lord, it shows us that there was 24 elders. That's 24 elders. Now let me show you what the Lord had done. He had put glory upon those elders. He had given them crowns upon their head. Oh, come on, somebody in this place. Don't you know that the presence of the Lord in your life is like wearing a crown? The presence of the Lord God in you is like a crown. There is something about you that wasn't about you before. The Lord has engaged you. The Lord has put his glory upon you. But going on down here, it shows that there was a throne, and the one that sat upon the throne, his face was like as unto jasper. But check this out. The 24 elders had so much from the Lord, it showed that they had 24 seats that was in the same vicinity of the throne. You talking about being endowed with God's glory. You talking about receiving something that comes from the Lord. That's really something that comes from the Lord, that he puts you in great position. He allows people to know who you are. He allows his glory to rest and sit upon you. Now, I want you to understand who these 24 elders were. They are the representatives of the redeemed church. If you're the redeemed of the Lord, come on and shout hallelujah. They are the representatives of the church of God, the redeemed church of God. And those crowns represented conquering. They were not the rulers, but those crowns were the crowns of conquerors. Are you a conqueror today? Are you a qualified overcomer today? Are you somebody that's standing strong against your own flesh, against your own mind, against the wiles of the adversary, against this world and natural? Have you gone the last mile of the way, as they would say? Come on and shout hallelujah. They are the representatives of the redeemed church of God, and the crowns that they have on are the crowns of those that have conquered. But I want you to check this out. When the beast began to praise the Lord, and this is going on throughout eternity, when they began to praise God in the way that they do, the Bible said that's when the 24 elders come and they fall down before the Lord, and they take their crowns and cast them before the Lord. Somebody say yes, Lord, in this place. There is nothing that we have of our own. There is no glory that rests upon us that does not already belong to God. Whatever it is that God has allowed you to become, I want you to know you didn't become that because of who you are. You became that because of who the Lord is. And these 24 elders, which are much higher than any of the rest of us, they got crowns of conqueror's crowns. They got 24 seats in the midst of the throne of God. And if they can bow down before the Lord and take the conquering crowns and cast them at his feet to say unto him, Lord, Lord, thou art holy, thou art good, thou art powerful, you are all in all, you are everything, there is nothing that I have that does not belong to you. I want you to know today, whatever glory you have, it's not your glory, it's yours for a little while, so that you can exchange it to give glory unto the Lord. Hey, Deacon Jones, I was thinking about you when I was doing this message, when I was meditating upon it, and the Lord showed me that Deacon Jones got some football championships under his belt, and I began to think, and I know Deacon Collins will consent to this, that he is coaching those young children, and he's putting the X's and the O's on the board, and he knows that it's not because of his intellect that he knows the X's and the O's, but it was the power of God that came on the inside of him that showed him to place the X's and the O's. When it's game time situation, Deacon, there's certain players that fit the situation. You don't know that on your own, but God opened your eyes and say, come over here, young fella, I need you to get in here and do it this way and do it that way. It was not his ability, but it was God's ability that come through him to show him how to do what he did. Some of y'all, you went to college and you got your degrees, and you can look back right now and know that it was not your intellect, it was not your stability, it was not anything of your own, but it was God that got you through. You went into that lecture hall and that professor was dull as paint dry, and you didn't understand anything, but God still blessed you to pass the test. You went into the other lecture hall and the professor had an accent so thick you couldn't understand one word that he said, but God blessed you to figure it out anyway. Come on and shout hallelujah. It wasn't your ability, but it was God. And somebody come by and say, you all that in a bag of chips because you graduated magna cum laude. I want want you to turn to them and say, I graduated magna cum laude, but it was the goodness of the Lord. No glory of my own, but it was God that got me through. It was God that saw me through those sorrowful nights. It was God that gave me strength in my mind, strength in my body. Come on and say yes, Lord, in this place.
Yes, Lord.
I hear Elder Campbell talking about lifting them weights. He go to the gym and he says he's gotten up to 325, I believe. Maybe he's lifted as much as 350. He does that to keep himself in shape. He does that sometimes so he can just see how much he can bench. But there's going to come a time when his physical strength is needed, and it won't be an opportunity to say what he has done. But what he will tell you is that the Lord girded me up with strength, that the Lord gave me the ability to do what needed to be done, and that's why I had the strength. Yeah, I went to the gym and lifted weights, but it was God that gave me the strength to lift the car off of that felt. It was God that gave me the strength to push that boulder out of the way. As Samson was here today, he would tell you that it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him, that gave him the strength, and not he alone. And if you go to Psalm 18, David begins to tell you it was the Lord that gave him strength that he could bend a bow of steel. He said, it's because of the Lord that he made my feet like hinds' feet. In other words, like a deer or like an antelope. I'm able to move with agility because the Lord made me move with agility. I heard him say over in Psalm 124, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, let all of Mount Calvary say, let all of Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I had been swallowed up quick. My enemies would have taken advantage of me, but because of God, come on and say yes, Lord, in this place. It's not my glory, but it is thy glory, oh God. Whatever you put upon us, Lord, help us to realize you put it there so we can give it back to you. You put it there for somebody to see your movement in our life. Somebody can see your presence in our life. And when they come to us, it's up to us to give that glory right back to God. Come on and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are here for a purpose, and our purpose is not to gratify ourselves. Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me. He also said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, a lot of people look at that and they think that that means as long as we praise the Lord with our mouth, then that's going to cause men to be drawn unto him. And that's partly true. But when that scripture says, when I am lifted up from the earth, it was specifically talking about going to the cross. It was specifically talking about when he would be risen up on the tree to be crucified. And if this happens, when this happens, men will turn and see, just as in the wilderness. It was in the Sunday school lesson, but we didn't talk much about it. When Moses raised up the brazen serpent, and those who looked upon the serpent was healed of the venom that they had been bitten with. It was the same way. If you look to Jesus, who was crucified, but yet he did rise, and yet now exists in us by way of the Holy Ghost, if we look to him, he'll draw all men. And see, the thing is, we're so busy talking about our personal crucifixion. We're so busy talking about our personal accomplishments that we're not lifting him up, and therefore we cannot draw all men unto him.
Lord.
If you're here today.
Hallelujah.
It ain't no if. We're here today. And too often we have taken what belongs to God. I heard an evangelist say when she was early in her ministry, well, early in her national ministry, Pastor Juanita Bynum, she said, Lord, in her prayer, she said, Lord, if I should rob you of any of your glory,